we wait on Major League Baseball to return.
Oh, come on back.
This is another edition of Dodger Talk.
You know, it's bringing out some good, bringing families together. I think it's cool.
With your Dodger insider.
Vassay! David Vassay.
To be a part, call 866-987-2578 and catch any show you missed by podcasting Dodger Talk on the iHeartRadio app.
We're essential.
Now here's David Vassay.
Happy what should have been opening day. And we are on an hour earlier tonight on Dodger Talk up until 7 o'clock, and that's when we will relive last year's opening day at Dodger Stadium when the Dodgers beat the Arizona Diamondbacks and Zach Greinke in a 12-5 win. Hyunjin Ryu was on the mound for the Dodgers that day. Clayton Kershaw started the first 6 weeks of last season on the injured list. So Ryu was the winning pitcher last year. I won't give away the results. I won't give away everything, but it was the first of 106 wins, a record 106 wins for the Dodgers last year. Most wins in franchise history in 2019. And those 8 home runs hit by the Dodgers was the first of 279 home runs hit by the Dodgers last year. And the fireworks started on opening day. So we here at Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports, do not want you to go without baseball on what would have been opening day 2020. So we came up with the idea of replaying our radio broadcast from a year ago. And to celebrate that as well, Jock Peterson will be joining us at 6:15. If you remember, Jock had 2 of those 8 home runs against the Diamondbacks on opening day last year. Kike Hernandez also hit 2 of those 8. So between those two young men, 4 of the 8 home runs hit, and Jock will join us at 6:15. We'll catch up with him. Also coming up at 6:30, we'll hear from our Dodger Talk contributor. You see him on Sportsnet LA. Former Major League Baseball player Jerry Hairston Jr. will join us at 6:30 and get his thoughts on where baseball's at, how guys stay sharp for the season, because we are all hopeful that baseball will return. And honestly, I wasn't as nostalgic about opening day today because I do believe there will be an opening day in 2020. And when that happens, that will be the opening day. So I'm not moping around the house wondering, oh, what could have been. No, I firmly believe that we will get through this. And on the other side of it, whether it's May, whether it's June, whether it's July, I do believe there will be an opening day and we will see Mookie Betts in a Dodger uniform. And just moments ago, we got breaking news from multiple outlets that Major League Baseball and the Players Association have come to terms on different scenarios on if the season is played or how long of a season they do play. And the biggest thing to take away from that is whether or not a single game is played, players will get credited with service time, meaning if there is 80 games played or 100 games played or 0 games played, players like Mookie Betts, Jock Peterson, Alex Wood, Trevor Bauer, they will all become free agents at the end of 2020, regardless of if a game is played this season. So that's my biggest takeaway from that news that was just broken by Ken Rosenthal and Jeff Passan. 866-987-2570. Not only coming up at 6:30 will we hear from Jerry Hairston Jr., but I want to hear what would have been your opening day lineup today against Johnny Cueto and the San Francisco Giants. I have mine. I want to hear yours and also some of your great opening day memories. I'll start because we have the highlights to back it up. Who could forget? We don't have the highlight from this. That's how far back it is. Don't tell Fernando that. But April 9th, 1981, Fernando Mania was born at Dodger Stadium. Jerry Royce was scheduled to pitch on opening day at Dodger Stadium. He was scratched because of an injury, and Tommy Lasorda chose to have Fernando Valenzuela make his first ever major league start on opening day at Dodger Stadium on April 9th, 1981, and all he did was pitch a complete game shutout, 2-0 win over the Houston Astros, who the Dodgers would play in a playoff series the year before and come up short. The Astros were a very good team, and Fernando just promptly shut them out 2-0 in his first ever major league start. So for me, that is one of the top opening days in Dodger Stadium history that I've ever seen in my lifetime. The other is opening day 2009 at Dodger Stadium, Orlando Hudson making his Dodger debut, and all he did was hit for the cycle.
And smoke down the right field line. That's going to be in there and roll to the wall. And the old dog is loose. He is around second. He is on his way to third. The throw, he is in there. He has just hit for the cycle. And now the first cycle by a Dodger since Wes Parker in 1970.
That doesn't happen too often, and it doesn't happen too often on opening day. And Orlando Hudson had one good year with the Dodgers, and 2009 was it. He broke his hand, I think, a couple of months after that, and never really got back into the everyday lineup for whatever reason. Joe Torre never put him back in there and gave him his job back. But for that one day on opening day in his Dodger debut, he hit for the cycle, finishing with that triple in his last at-bat. The other opening day that stands out to me is 2013 at Dodger Stadium. Dodgers against the San Francisco Giants, and Clayton Kershaw pitched a complete game shutout while only throwing 94 pitches in a 9-inning complete game shutout, and also provided the Dodgers with the go-ahead run leading off the top bottom of the 8th inning against George Contos in a scoreless game.
And Kershaw followed by Crawford and Ellis. And a high fly ball to center. Pagan going back. It's over his head. It's over the fence.
How about that? Clayton Kershaw pitches his complete game shutout, throws only 94 pitches while striking out 7 Giants, and starts a 4-run inning, leading it off with a home run in the bottom of the 8th inning. And that will go down as one of those moments in Kershaw's career that you always remember. I know Eric Steven from True Blue LA joined us last Friday, and that was his Kershaw moment that he remembers. And for me, those three are the ones that are at the top of my memory bank for really great opening days, especially at Dodger Stadium. I guess the only other one that would come to mind was traveling with the Dodgers to open the baseball season in Sydney, Australia back in 2014. That was quite an experience. Would love to hear your opening day memories. Also, what would have been your Dodgers starting lineup? We all like to play manager. You could play it today as we take you up to 7 o'clock, where we will relive last year's 12-5 victory over the Arizona Diamondbacks on opening day 2019. You will hear that again with Rick Monday and Charlie Steiner coming up at 7 o'clock. But first, the man that hit 2 home runs on opening day in 2019, young Jock Peterson, will join us next on Dodger Talk, right here on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports.
Perfect Thursday afternoon for the seasonal, 66 degrees at the moment, just a gentle breeze, and a fly ball to right field, and once again, Jock Peterson has left the yard. This time he pulls it about 15 rows back, just to the left of the bullpen. A 2-run shot. It is now 9-1.
What a day for Jock Peterson last opening day, as he hit 2 of the Dodgers' 8 home runs in a 12-5 win over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Welcome back to Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you tonight until 7 o'clock. That's where we will relive the entire game of a year ago opening day, since we have our opening day in 2020 delayed for a period of time. So we will not let you go without an opening day, and we will not let you go without hearing from the man that put Dodger Stadium on their feet last year on opening day, a man that has spent his entire baseball life with the Dodgers, a man that holds the single season leadoff home run record for the Dodgers, breaking Davey Lopes' record a couple of years ago, and a man that has hit four World Series home runs. Four World Series home runs. That's the one and only Jock Peterson. Jock, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, Bassey. Thanks for having me.
I can give you your own day like I gave Ethier. I gave Ethier every Wednesday. I could give you your day of the week until baseball starts again if you're interested.
Oh, yeah? I don't know. Maybe we'll see. We'll see how this one goes.
Or at the very least, you could crank call Ethier on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea. I should do that.
When you hear that call from Charlie Steiner a year ago on opening day, what are the thoughts and feelings you have about not only your two home runs, but also the excitement of that win?
It's huge. You know, opening day, there's so many jitters and excitement of getting the season started. So to definitely start the season off like that was awesome, and you couldn't write it up a different way.
It's every game is special, especially when you're playing in front of 50,000 fans, but you've been through it enough now. You've been through five opening days as a Dodger on the opening day roster. What is it about that day that makes it so special from a player standpoint?
I mean, 50,000 people, first day, it's always a day game. I don't know, the flyover, there's just so many emotions that go into that make it so exciting. I mean, it's hard to explain, but putting that Dodger uniform on is definitely a blessing.
When you woke up this morning, did you feel like you needed to be somewhere since today should have been opening day?
Not really. I mean, it's kind of with the whole delay on spring training, kind of the first couple of days of that, it felt like I needed to be at the park or something, but yeah, I don't know. It sucks. I mean, looking at today was opening day. It's unfortunate that we weren't able to do it, but we'll have our opening day this year and we'll make the best of it.
Was it even more frustrating, Jock, because you had the little side injury that kind of nagged you throughout the entire course of this first spring training? And then once you get healthy, the pandemic of coronavirus hits and baseball is suspended. How frustrating was that for you trying to get ready for the season?
Yeah, you know, that is frustrating, but luckily with everything that happened, I have some extra time to heal, and I would have been ready, I think, by opening day anyways, so I didn't really get to go out there too much in the spring training games, but I think that I need to just a couple more days to get back to playing in those games, but we didn't have that obviously. So I'm going to use this time to get better.
How do you get better? Are you, do you have Poppy, your daughter, throwing you some soft toss to keep you going? How are you staying sharp?
Not necessarily get better like that. More so just,
maintaining
rest. Yeah. Rest, and I'm not doing really any baseball activities yet. I'm going to pick those up as soon as we start. We get a definite date of about when we're going to go back and whatnot. So, I don't know. This is a new experience for me, obviously, and for everyone else. So just, it's hard to say, you know. It's tough. Everyone wants to be out there, and we'll get out there as soon as they let us.
Jock Peterson is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at YoungJock650. And Jock, I'm curious, and you'll see some great photos of his family. Trust me, they're a lot better looking than he is if you want to go to Instagram or Twitter. And I'm curious, how are you, how are your days? Like, how do you keep everybody's doing something different during this self-isolation time that we all have to be in? What's your day look like, and is it spent just chasing Poppy around the house?
A lot of it honestly is. It's quarantine life. You know, there's not much to do, so you're just chilling, and you are wake up, slow morning, nowhere to be, cook breakfast, maybe go on like a family walk or.
Who's cooking breakfast?
And all that. Kelsey.
Yeah, you try to act like you were cooking the breakfast.
No. I'm eating the breakfast, though. So.
Any teammates bugging
yeah,
you?
I've talked to a few. Austin Barnes is bugging me a little bit.
But, yeah, I could tell.
Stayed in touch with some of them, and, yeah, I mean, you can't really see them. So playing some video games with Bellinger and Lux, FaceTime with Kirsch a little bit.
Hey, speaking of Kirsch, Jock, and social media, I saw the Dodgers did a day
in
the life of the Kershaws.
Yeah, he's been big on social media lately, huh?
Yeah, I never thought he would explode on social media like he has this week.
Right.
And then he's calling you out on Papa Shot. Is that something that you guys have had? Right, just calling you out.
Out of nowhere. He hasn't seen me shoot.
Have you ever played him? Is there a contest?
No, he's trash, though.
It seems like his arm was like that. That's like a 5-year-old's Papa Shot that he was trying to show off on the Dodgers.
Yeah, it doesn't look so good. Real rigid.
No, let's get him out. Let's get him out somewhere else where we can make this a fair competition between you two. That's my goal before the season's over, to really put together a Papa Shot contest between you and Kershaw.
Hey, that's easy to set up at the field.
Let's do it. It's done. It's done. We will set that up. We'll do some charity thing.
Hey, I'm in. I'm
all right.
All in.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thanks for checking in. I'm glad you and the family are
really
safe.
Best, eh?
Safe and healthy. I'm happy to hear your voice. I know Dodger fans are happy to hear your voice and happy that you're wearing Dodger blue and can't wait for that to happen in a regular season game.
When do we start back up? When's your opinion, Vasse?
I'm predicting a midsummer startup between June 15th and July 15th. That's my prediction. That's my optimistic prediction.
So what about the All-Star game?
I'm not sure about that. I don't know about that. I've heard a scenario, Jock, where the All-Star game would kick off the baseball season at Dodger Stadium. How does that sound?
Shut up.
Yeah, I'm serious.
With a bang.
With a bang. That would be unbelievable. Now, I'm curious.
That would be a good way to start back.
Well, I'm going to ask you this, too. I do believe that there is going to be less than 162 games played. How would you feel about a 100-game season? Would it have that playoff intensity for 100 games during the regular season?
I think it would. I think, who knows, maybe it's a good thing, and we come back from this, and everyone's like, oh, my God, the games are so intense or something, and more people tune in. Maybe that's part of it, you know, getting more people involved. Who knows? But you got to adapt. It's a crappy situation, and so everyone needs to stay safe so we can get over it as soon as possible.
That's right. That's right. And I'm sure you want to tip your cap to the healthcare workers out there, right, Jock?
Absolutely. I definitely want to tip my cap. They're putting it all out there on the line, doing everything they can to save some lives and cure, get people back on their feet. So, I respect and tip my cap to everyone who's volunteering, even the people. You look at JT, and he's always posting about the people giving food and people still need to eat and stuff like that. So this is it's tough on everyone. So everyone needs to be helpful right now and a helping hand and volunteering. So, yeah.
No doubt. And stay home and listen to the replay.
Yeah, stay home, yeah.
Yeah, and listen to the replay of Jock.
I think that's the biggest thing is that, like, I don't know, it's been about 10 days now and 11 days, and everyone thinks like, oh, it's everyone's bored now, but it's time to do something. But it's like, no, it's just getting worse, you know? I saw we just passed Italy, so that's not good.
No, a lot more tests are getting out there, and that's part of the reason why and we are a little bit bigger of a country than Italy, too, so that's part of the equation as well, but – everybody needs to find a way to help, and the best way to help is stay home and leave it to guys like Justin Turner, Jock Peterson, Clayton Kershaw, and all these professional athletes that can contribute and help the cause. So great to hear your voice. I know you don't think so, but this is therapeutic for Dodger fans to hear your voice.
I don't know about that.
Come on, it is.
I'm not like you. I'm not like you. I don't like to hear myself talk.
Hey, all right, all right. Fair enough. All right, that'll be the final shot. That'll be the final shot of this interview, and that's a good way to end it. And I can't wait to see you and Kershaw go at it at Papa Shot.
All right, sounds good. Best day.
Be safe and be healthy.
Later.
There he goes, Jock Peterson. Yes, I talk for a living. Him and Kenley and the rest of the team always ask me, why am I always talking? That's my job to talk. I talk to you, and that's what we're going to do next on Dodger Talk. 866-987-2570. I want to hear your opening day memories. I want to hear you, what would have been your opening day lineup. I would have had Jock Peterson in the starting lineup today against Johnny Cueto, that's for sure. I'll reveal mine, and we'll talk to Jerry Harrison Jr. next from Sportsnet LA, right here on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports. Yes, on an hour early tonight, because what would have been opening day, we want to celebrate with you and try to keep your baseball spirits high. Coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, we will replay opening day circa 2019, the Dodgers 12-5 victory over the Arizona Diamondbacks, 8 home runs hit by the Dodgers, 2 from Jock Peterson. You just heard from him, heard about that day, his thoughts on it, and also what he's doing today. And I guess he's fixated on Clayton Kershaw calling him out in his social media posts that he could beat him in Papa Shot. So we got to get that going once baseball starts as well. If you want to hear that interview, you could podcast it at am570lasports.com or by downloading the iHeartRadio app. All right, what would have been opening day today, 2020? It would have been Kershaw versus Johnny Cueto of the San Francisco Giants at Dodger Stadium. And here is my opening day lineup. It would have obviously had Mookie Betts in right field leading off. Now, here's what a lot of people may disagree with. Everybody just automatically putting Max Muncy second. No, I am going to have Corey Seager, who I expect MVP-type things from in 2020, batting second at shortstop. Justin Turner in his familiar third spot playing third base. Cody Bellinger hitting cleanup but not playing center field. I have Cody at first base against Johnny Cueto. I have Max Muncy hitting behind him playing second base. That's right, Muncy at second base. I thought Gavin Lux making the team out of spring training was 50-50, so I'm opting for Max Muncy at second base. And then hitting sixth, A.J. Pollock. Yeah, remember A.J. Pollock? He would be hitting sixth today if I had to guess. And he would be playing center field. Jock would be playing left, hitting seventh. Will Smith would have been catching Clayton Kershaw. So that's what I got for my opening day lineup. What's yours? 866-987-2570. We'll get to your phone calls in just a moment, but we're joined by our contributor to Dodger Talk during the regular season. You see him almost nightly on Sportsnet LA, and that is the one and only Jay Hare, Jerry Harrison Jr. Jay Hare, I miss you. We should have been doing the show after the day game today. Hope you're coping with no opening day well wherever you are.
Yeah, it's been tough, you know, the last few months, as you mentioned. You know, today would have been opening day, and it would have been nice for us to talk Dodger baseball, but, you know, a lot of pressing things are happening on the planet right now, and hopefully we'll be back playing regular games sooner rather than later.
How are the Harrisons handling the self-isolation, the quarantine, Jerry?
Well, we're doing okay. You know, we're in Arizona. I live in Scottsdale up north, so we got a spacious area. So it's basically, you know, everything's basically similar besides the kids going to school. Schools and sports are out right now. So, you know, my kids have been I've had them the last 10 days, which has been great. So we got a chance to play a lot in the backyard and really get to know each other. And I've been kind of a dad slash teacher as well, you know, teaching some subjects. And I tell you what, you know, especially my son, who's in eighth grade, he's doing a lot of math stuff that I didn't even learn when I was in high school. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's teaching you some of that stuff now, Jerry, right?
He is, because it's amazing. They're doing all sorts of things, you know, trying to find the answer in 4 or 5 different ways. Bruh, 2 plus 2 equals 4. That's all I know. You know, so it's like, all this trying to, use different types of equations to find one answer, it's a little bit more, it's different than a lot that I was used to when I was growing up.
Hey, that's how a lot of teams come up with their starting lineups every day.
Well, I'll tell you what, give me Cody Bellinger, put him in my lineup. That's all I need.
Speaking of Cody Bellinger in your lineup, we're going to replay, as Sportsnet LA did earlier today, we're replaying the radio broadcast of last year's 12-5 win on opening day over the Diamondbacks. Cody had the first of his 40-something home runs last year on his way to his first ever National League MVP. What do you remember about last opening day and those 8 home runs?
Just how prepared the Dodger team was. Especially the Dodger offense. You know, it's amazing. You know, they got a lot of pitches up in the zone. There were mistakes that were made by the opposing team, and the Dodgers capitalized on them. You know, and they weren't really swinging for the fences, but they were driving the ball out of the ballpark, and everybody stayed within themselves. I know Jock got us going. You mentioned Cody. Kike Hernandez, if I'm not mistaken, hit a couple home runs as well.
Yeah.
Guys were prepared and really put on the show for the Dodger fans. And really, they were giving us a glimpse of what was to come. You know, the Dodgers obviously drove the ball out of the ballpark quite a few times last year, and it was fun to watch.
Jerry, you were part of the 2013 Dodgers, and I know a lot of people, and myself included, are thinking back to some of their great opening day memories. That day that Kershaw had beating the Giants that you were a part of, that's got to be one of the great opening day performances by any Dodger.
It was. You know, I remember Magic Johnson coming out, and I believe, if I'm not wrong, Sandy Koufax took the ball from him, and or was it Vin Scully? It was one of
the
two.
They were all involved. I remember that
ceremony.
They
were all involved. Yeah. Yes, they were all involved with the first pitch. It was electric, and it really was well pitched ball game. You know, Clayton was on his A game, and then I remember Clayton taking Contos, a Chicago boy, deep for the game's first run. And he was dominant on the mound, and he was dominant at the plate. And, you know, Clayton Kershaw carried us not only that game, but really carried us all year long.
It felt like you were part of the team in 2012. 2013 felt like the Dodgers were back, and he set the tone that day. Is that a right assessment of where things were for the franchise at that point in time on opening day in 2013?
I believe so. You know, we failed to make the postseason in 12, but we felt that we had a great offseason. And we had the team really to beat not only our division but in baseball. And he definitely set the tone. You know, Zach Greinke had a great year as well. And we were a balanced team. You know, even though injuries kind of hit us early on, we knew once we got healthy, we would, you know, make a pretty good run. And I think we ran off, 42-8 in that 50-game span toward the end of the season, caught fire. Hanley was healthy. He was amazing. Matt Kemp was great. And Yasiel Puig set the world on fire. So definitely was fun times. To be a part of the Dodger team in 13.
Jerry Hairston Jr. from Sportsnet LA is our guest. All right, Jerry, fast forward to 2020. I'm a believer baseball will be played this season, whenever it is. And I've talked to some active players that have said there's been discussions about a 100-game season, and they feel like the playoff type of intensity would be in each of those 100 regular season games. Do you feel the same way if it plays out that way?
I completely agree. You know, I think, you know, not just baseball fans, I think sports fans need baseball back. You know, baseball is the only sport that's played daily, you know, every single day. And, you know, even if they start the season with no fans in the stands, I know it'll be a little awkward, but I think there's going to be record-setting TV ratings because everybody's going to be at home wanting to see any type of sports. And I think baseball has a golden opportunity once it's safe, to be a sport that is also will be on your TV every single night. And I think baseball has a chance to be the first sport that is played because you got to remember, you know, NBA, you know, you can't be doing any social distancing in NBA games. Guys are always banging on each other. You know, they're leaning on each other defensively, offensively. But in baseball, there is some social distancing. You know, you see it in Korea right now where games are being played with no fans. So I'm hoping, you know, the season will start soon and when it's safe. But I think it'll be great for the game of baseball, even though there won't be fans probably at the start. But there are games being played. Everybody will be at home watching, whether it's Dodger baseball, Yankee baseball, even Giants baseball. Fans want to see baseball and want to see guys competing. And I think the players understand that. They'll really appreciate what they're doing, not just for their careers, but for the fans in general. And knowing that everybody's at home watching them and they want to put their best foot forward. And I think it'll be a tremendous season. Whether it's 120 games, 100 games, or 85 games, I think it'll be a tremendous race. And once you get to postseason, hopefully the fans will be back and you're going to see some epic baseball being played.
Whenever that happens, Jerry, I'm a big believer that Corey Seager is back to his old MVP-type self. And I really believed in spring training. A lot of people were overlooking him, and I know that's what he likes. But Mookie was getting a lot of attention. Cody was getting a lot of attention. Kershaw, Price. And nobody really was talking about Seager. I feel like he, as hard as this sounds, do you feel like he might sneak up on the National League this year?
Yeah, and you know what? You're exactly right. Corey doesn't like a whole lot of attention, you know, but I got a chance to see him in spring training. He's always all smiles. And he kind of took a deep breath and said, oh, I'm finally healthy. Finally feel like myself. And I think he's going to have a monster year. And, you know, it's always good to be that under-the-radar guy. And I know it's kind of crazy to say Corey Seager's under the radar, but you got to remember, Cody Bellinger was the MVP. Mookie Betts a couple of years ago was the American MVP. So you're going to have a lot of guys in that lineup that may kind of overshadow Corey a little bit, but I think he's going to be that guy that really puts the world on notice. And I know Lindor is in the American League. He's the best on the planet, you know, in the American League as far as a shortstop. Trevor Story is as good as it gets. But I think Corey Seager, as healthy, he's one of the best shortstop, really best players in all of baseball. And I think he's going to let the whole world know that he's back and he's going to put on the show.
Let's face it, some players may benefit more than others from a shortened season. Do you feel like Corey Seager would be one of those type of players that if he's not playing 150, if he's playing 100, 110 in a regular season almost every day, he's going to benefit from that more than other guys?
Well, I think everybody has a chance to benefit, but I think the Dodger players, not just Corey, have a chance to benefit over a shorter season because, you know, Dave Roberts does an excellent job of keeping guys fresh and keeping guys in and out of the lineup, whether they play 3 or 4 or 5 days in a row. You know, you have guys that come in like Kike Hernandez, Chris Taylor can play anywhere to spell guys, and guys will get plenty of at-bats, but they'll be fresh come October or November or December, whenever the playoffs start.
Jerry Hairston Jr. is our guest. And, Jerry, you've told me during past offseason some major league players that live in Arizona, train in Arizona, they may come over your place and use the batting cage that you have in your backyard. Have any of the major league players now during this time of not being able to go to their training facility called you to come over and use your cage?
I've had a couple players come over. Luis Gonzalez, I don't know, Dave, if you know this or not, but I also – my cousin's an agent. I help him out with our agency, and I have Luis Gonzalez. He's with the White Sox organization. Has a chance to be in the big leagues this year in September. He's that talented of a kid. Johnny Ornelas, probably the best prospect the Rangers have right now, shortstop. Those guys are my clients. They come out here and play. Sam Huff is of the Rangers. The Dodgers do a great job of making sure that they have their facilities, not just here in Arizona, but I know a lot of guys are back in L.A. Using facilities in and out when need to. So I tell guys all the time, if you need a place to hit, you're more than welcome to come to my place in Scottsdale. They can come on and practice here. We practice social distancing here, even at my home, making sure guys are healthy.
All right, Jerry. Well, can't wait to see you when we talk baseball and things are actually happening. But I know it's great to hear your voice, and be safe and stay healthy to you and your kids.
Thanks, Dave. And you as well. You and your family. Stay safe.
Thank you. There he goes. Jerry Hairston Jr. from Sportsnet LA. If you missed any of the interview, you can download it on the iHeartRadio app or by downloading it on am570lasports.com. And, you know, I'm glad Jerry agreed with me. Corey Seager is going to sneak up on the rest of the National League. If you look at this Dodger lineup, and I went through what, in my opinion, would have been the Dodgers opening day lineup, or would have been mine, that and against Johnny Cueto, there is no place to breathe in this lineup the way it's constructed. And I really believe, and when you look at starting lineups, everybody just thinks about the first time around, But what you forget is the second and third time around and that lineup turnover and how it forces opposing managers to make decisions with their starting pitcher and their relief pitcher. And the Dodgers have done such a great job during the regular season of constructing their lineup where it does force the opposing manager to make a decision. And I just feel like Corey Seager is really going to catch not only those starters in the first inning, but also some of those relievers when they come into the game, especially now with the rule of having a pitcher face minimum three batters. So he's going to see potentially more right-handed pitchers. 866-987-2570. We are taking you up to the top of the hour where we will relive last year's opening day 12-5 win over the Diamondbacks. Hyunjin Ryu made the opening day start, if you remember, because Clayton Kershaw started the season, the first 6 weeks of the season to be exact, on the injured list. So that's where things started for the Dodgers. And as Rick Monday likes to say, Rockets red glare, 8 home runs for the Dodgers on opening day in 2019. Rick Monday, Charlie Steiner, I know you missed their voices. You'll get to hear them again at the top of the hour as we relive last year's exciting, thrilling opening day victory over the Arizona Diamondbacks. And it's going to be a good one because there were a lot of Dodger runs scored, 12 runs scored, and the game only took 2 hours and 49 minutes. And I'm sure we're going to condense it a little bit more. But a baseball game that has 16 runs scored, only taking 2 hours and 49 minutes, that's unheard of in 2019-2020 baseball. And a big reason why was, even though Greinke was getting hit pretty hard, he was throwing strikes, and the Dodgers were not missing him. And so was Hyunjin Ryu. He went 6 innings that day, allowing just 1 earned run on his way to a very special season that got him paid in Toronto. Let's go out to the phones, 866-987-2570. I want to hear your opening day lineup and also your opening day memories. Manny in Gardena, thanks for keeping the streak alive. How you doing?
Hey, DV, you know what? Honored and privileged as usual. Jock Peterson has been riding on my dashboard since like 3 years ago when I found his little baseball card on the floor at a job. Took it, put it right there on my dashboard, man. That's a little something for that toolbox that called in a couple years ago telling me he should try to do more doubles. But that's another story for another day. Hey, I just go with your lineup, man. You've done the research. You know what's up. And I hope that CK1 is able to keep his streak alive when it does come back. DV, man, keep up the great work, brother. Always.
Thank you, Manny.
The show.
You be safe, be healthy, and thanks for listening. 866-987-2570. Hey, I'm not the manager. I'm just trying to play manager on the radio here, and this is what would have been my opening day lineup, my best guess at an opening day lineup. I want to hear your best guess at what would have been Dave Roberts' opening day lineup against the Giants and Johnny Cueto. My other prediction last night was the Dodgers probably would have outscored the Giants in this 3-game series. Oh, I don't know, maybe 31-4, and that's being generous and easy on the Giants. And the Giants are probably happy that they are not starting opening day today because it would have been ugly for Gabe Kapler and his Giants. Let's face it. They do not have the talent that they had a couple of years ago. They're going in a completely different direction as far as rebooting that aging roster. And the Dodgers would have taken advantage of it and will continue to take advantage of it. I haven't looked to see how many times the Dodgers would have played the Giants in the first 58-60 games of the season, but that definitely would have padded the Dodgers' win total if a full 162 was played this year, because I really believed if a full 162 was played this year, and it still may be, but it's looking doubtful that 162 will be played in Major League Baseball this year, the Dodgers would have beat the Giants, in my opinion, at least 17 of the 19 times they faced each other. Not to mention the Rockies, who were in a little turmoil in spring training. The Dodgers probably would have taken at least 10 or 13 of 19 against them. And I could have seen the Dodgers. I wasn't buying the Padres as much as everybody else was. Their bullpen's interesting, and a short sprint to the postseason this year may benefit them. So we'll see how it goes. But my team to come out of the NL West as a wild card team was not the Padres. It was the Arizona Diamondbacks. 866-987-2570. We are going to replay last year's opening day 12-5 win over the Diamondbacks coming up at the top of the hour with Rick Monday and Charlie Steiner. Let's go out to our old faithful here, Isabel in Anaheim, formerly of Buena Park. Isabel, I hope you're being safe out there.
Yeah, I am. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to hear your voice, Izzy.
Thank you. Listen, I'll just take your lineup because, well, I'll tweet you my lineup because I haven't really gone through the lineup yet, so I'll tweet you. But second of all, I do remember opening day 2009 and all the openings. Except I don't remember 81 because 81, I wasn't even following baseball till like during the playoff that season. But anyway, but listen, it should be whenever the Dodgers play, should be a good season, whatever. You know, it's kind of bummer that we have to go through this now, but, you know, just stay safe, Dodgers fan. We'll get through this. So anyway, so that's what I got to say, David.
All right, Isabel. Thanks for the phone call, and I'm sure Dave Roberts and Andrew Friedman are shocked that the first two callers tonight have agreed with my lineup and said, I'll trust your lineup. They would probably stop in their tracks if they heard that. 866-987-2570. We are getting close to the top of the hour where we will relive last year's 12-5 win over the Arizona Diamondbacks at Dodger Stadium in front of a sellout crowd. 8 home runs were hit. It was the first of a record, franchise record, I should say, 106 wins for the Dodgers. And you kind of felt after opening day it was going to be a special season. So you're going to enjoy this 12-4 win. Nothing like a baseball game that has 12 runs scored in one game, and it's under 3 hours, and that will be fun. All right, let's take one more phone call. Felipe in L.A., you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. What's up, Felipe?
Hey, what's up?
You tell me. You're on the air. What do you have to say?
Okay, so my lineup will be Mookie Betts leading off, and then I'll go Redturn at 2, then Muncy at 3, then Bellinger at 4, then I'll keep Seager at 5, then I'll go Jock at 6, Gavin at 7, Will Smith at 8, and the pitcher. That's my
lineup. Right. All right, so you got Cody in center, and you got Muncy at first base.
Yes, sir.
All right. I still don't believe, I'm not sold that Lux was going to make the team coming out of spring training, Felipe. That's why I had Muncy at second.
I do. Why not trade him if you're not going to start him? You get me? It's like you could go get Lindor if you don't want to start him.
You
get me?
That's true. That's true. But the Dodgers also had working trading Jock Peterson, which would have opened a spot for Gavin Lux. That did not happen, and the Dodgers are loaded going into opening day, so why rush the kid? All right. Thanks for the phone call, Felipe. That was not a crazy lineup. That was a very rational lineup by Felipe. We just disagreed. All right, that'll do it for Dodger Talk tonight. Thanks for listening an hour earlier. In case you missed Jock Peterson or Jerry Hairston Jr., download the iHeartRadio app or podcast it at am570lasports.com. I am going to be with you at the top of the hour, leading you in to Rick Monday and Charlie Steiner calling last year's opening day victory over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Don't go anywhere. It was a good game. Stay where you are on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports.